Please open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel, the prophet, was among the captives, the Jewish captives that Babylon had taken there, by the river Chebar. And while he was there, he saw visions of God himself. And it begins with him seeing something coming out of the north. A raging fire that was just self-engulfing. And then he saw some things come out of the fire, which he called four living creatures. And each one had four faces. Each one had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. I believe that what he saw are representations of the four gospel accounts in the New Testament: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the face of a man represents that of Luke. Many commentaries, especially the old ones, will go along these very lines. Now, skipping through most of what he said there, he eventually gets to the point where he says there's a firmament up above the four living creatures, and it's like they're transporting it. And then up above on the firmament, he sees a throne. And there's one sitting on it who looks like a man. And this is part of the reason why I believe this is the four gospel accounts, that they are transporting all over the earth by means of the gospel message, the Son of Man, whom we know as the Son of God, who is God himself. So Ezekiel ended the description of his spectacular vision with these words, beginning at verse 26. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was the likeness of appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within him. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. So Ezekiel saw a man whom he also said was the Lord. And so that's one reason why I believe that they're actually showing us, or John or Ezekiel was showing us, Jesus on that throne before I ever came here and lived on the earth. So I'd like to invite you now to turn to Luke, the third gospel account in the New Testament, Luke chapter 1. Luke, the face of a man on the living creatures, because he presents to us the Son of Man. Matthew presented Jesus as the lion from the tribe of Judah. Mark showed Jesus in his strength, hence an ox. And John is just an entirely different gospel. He's like an eagle flying in the air. But here, in Luke, you find Jesus portrayed as the Son of Man. It begins in verse 1 with these words: "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. I'd like to take this passage this morning and just talk about how I think it's a wonderful passage. Luke, right after this, then begins by talking about the parents of John the Baptist. And John would be the forerunner of the Christ, announcing to the land that the Christ had arrived. But let's think on how Luke began his gospel account to Theophilus, of whom we know nothing, except that his name means God lover. And so some people have thought that this may not have been written to a specific man, but just to all who are lovers of God. Look at the beginning again. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us. Luke knew that others had done what he had already done, or what he was proposing to do, and that is to set in order a narrative of the ministry of Jesus. Luke may have been referring to Matthew and Mark here. John would be written later. But they were not the only preachers who were so touched by the ministry of Jesus. But others were, and they had to just go out and speak the word. I mean, for example, when you go to Acts chapter 8, the other book in the New Testament that Luke wrote, after telling you about a man by the name of Stephen, one of the first disciples of Christ, and how he spoke to the Jewish council when they were forbidding him to preach in the name of Jesus, and he preaches to them a lesson, and they didn't like what he said, so they killed him. And then in Acts 8, 1, it says, at that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Skip down to verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So the ones who were actually the preachers, they didn't leave. They stayed in town. They stayed with the first church. But other members of the church who were driven out of Jerusalem by persecution, what did Luke say? They went everywhere preaching the word. I think Acts 4 also shows what happened to people back then. And again, not just the apostles who are mentioned here. The Jewish leaders arrested Peter and John, two of the most prominent apostles. And they were forbidding them to preach and to teach in the name of Jesus. But I want you to listen to what Luke says these men did. Acts 4, 19 and 20 says, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Now here's the part I want you to get. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Okay, most of you know the story of Jesus. You know his ministry. You know the miracles and the wonderful things that he did. And the words that he spoke. They're beautiful words. You cherish their words. Because of his words, you're here today. So imagine being in that generation And you're the first one who's ever seen these miracles and all the stuff that Jesus has done. Walking on water, changing water to wine. Those who have never walked before or haven't walked in decades, he heals. And go on and on with all the miracles. And just the wonderful words that flowed from his lips. These two men are saying, we can't keep quiet about that. Now, it's also the fact that those things of Jesus fulfilled prophecy. I mean, there's other reasons they could have given, but they're just saying, listen, brethren. Listen, our Jewish brethren, you on the Jewish council. I mean, you know what we've seen. You know what we've heard, because you've seen and heard them too. We can't stop speaking. Well, no one was able to stop them from speaking until they killed them, eventually. So Luke himself, though, did not witness the works and words of Jesus, even as we have not witnessed those things. However, Luke did what we do. He looked at the material that was available, and he spent time listening to and reading the accounts of the eyewitnesses and of others who ministered to Jesus during his time. And he just had to learn in the same way that we do. You know, my sermons, my classes that I teach, email devotionals that I send out twice every day, and so on. It's because I open up the Bible, I look at it, I put things together, and I speak. And that's what you do. You do the exact same thing. And I believe the more we have doing this, the better, don't you? Wouldn't you say the church would be better and the world would be better if more people were opening up the Scriptures, especially the four Gospels, and just reading them and seeing what they have to say? I don't see how things could be worse. They would definitely be better. We'll be like Peter and John. You know, one time Jesus said, this is in Matthew 12:34, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's exactly what happens. You just open up the Scriptures and read them. Think about what you're reading. You're going to get filled up with it, and it's going to come out your mouth, whether you realize it or not. So research and meditate, as Luke did, and you're going to find, well, I've just discovered some things here, and I need to tell someone else about it. The more time you spend in the Word, the more you'll need an outlet. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you will want to let someone else know. The more you see how the Hebrew Scriptures speak of Jesus, the more you'll be thrilled to let others know what you've discovered. I do that especially when it comes to the Old Testament, because I find that a lot of Christians just don't go there. And we would like to spend our time in the New Testament. So I read through things and I discover things. And I'm thinking, I never heard anyone talk about this before, so I got to speak it. As part of the Word of God, I'm going to do it. And I'm thrilled when I discover those things. I think the same thing will happen to you too. Now, Luke, back in Luke 1, he continued to say that he was going to show those things which have been fulfilled among us. From the very beginning, the first human pair, Adam and Eve, right after they sinned, God is speaking to them. But then he also spoke to the serpent who deceived Eve into taking from that tree, fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then she ate it, of course, and then gave some to Adam, and he had a bite as well. But from that time on, the Spirit was dropping little hints of someone who would come along one day and deliver us from our troubles, especially the troubles caused by sin. In Genesis 3, The very first book of the Bible. You'll find God saying to the serpent. I think that's interesting that the very first prophecy wasn't spoken to man. It was spoken to the serpent through whom Satan had operated to ruin humanity. And in Genesis 3:15, here's what God said to the serpent. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Ultimately, talking about the crucifixion. Because in the crucifixion, yeah, Jesus would suffer a wound, but it was a wound from which he would recover, like if you got bruised on the heel. But the serpent would receive a blow that would eventually destroy him, like a blow or a bruise on the head. So from that point on, God just continued to give all these hints, these different kinds of indications that a deliverer would eventually come. Having seen all those things fulfilled, knowing what the Hebrew Scriptures teach, and Luke listening to, I believe it was Paul that he traveled with and heard Paul speaking, so he got most of his information from Paul, but also reading the other accounts and what others had said, he saw how Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled those prophecies and promises of the Old Testament perfectly, and he couldn't keep quiet. He wanted to take the time to write down a lengthy narrative of the ministry of Jesus. I mean, it is so long, it probably seems like Paul is the most prolific writer in the New Testament because, there's 13 books in the Bible that he authored. But actually, when you put Luke and Acts together, word count, Luke beats Paul. And he beats John. Just barely, but he did. He wrote a lot. He had a lot to say. In Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah had been filled with the Word of God. And he was being persecuted for it. The king and his household and the royal court were telling him to be quiet. Quit this stuff. I mean, they threw him in jail. They threw him down into a well that didn't have water in it, but it was mud, and he sank down into the mud, I believe up into his chest or close to it. And several men rescued him. And he just finally said, that's it. I'm not going to speak anymore. He couldn't do it. Look at Jeremiah 20, verse 9. And then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Now I know he's not talking about Jesus. That's to come later. But just, he's talking about the Lord, who really is Jesus, though he may not realize that. But he's been getting the word from God, and he's been speaking it, and it has not been received very well. So he just says, I give up. That's it. But then he said, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Now, if you had a fire right here in your chest, what are you going to do? You got to get rid of it. It's burning you up. So that's what he did. He says, it's shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it back, and I could not. So that's why it goes all the way to Jeremiah 52. He spoke, and he spoke again. Again, Luke's reference in Luke chapter 1. He then said, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word deliver them to us. In other words, I want to do what the eyewitnesses, the ministers of the word, referring to the apostles, the first preachers, they deliver them to us. So I'm gathering this material, and I want to deliver it to you also. And of course, the Lord is involved in all of this. The Lord knew that they were eyewitnesses. Luke did. So he listened to them. And how much time did he spend with Paul? It seems like a few decades. Writing about his journeys, telling us what he preached. And he's writing those things down too. And Paul saw the Lord. He was not with the Lord during his ministry, but he still saw the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, He speaks about all the people who saw Jesus after his resurrection. And then in verse 8, he said, "Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time." Look also at Galatians chapter 1. So Paul's saying he appeared to all the apostles. He appeared to James, the brother of the Lord. At one time he appeared to 500 brethren. And then the last one he appeared to is me. And he felt like it was inappropriate, that he was not worthy. He was born out of due time. He was out of sync. But the Lord chose him and the Lord decided to appear to him. In Galatians 1, 11 and 12, Paul said, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ." So Paul got to spend some one-on-one time with the Lord Jesus Christ, but not in the same way that the other apostles did. You know, they lived with him, they traveled with him, they saw him do his miracles, and they heard him preach to all the people. But he actually had an experience where he had a revelation of Jesus. Jesus appeared to him and taught him things and just prepared him to be an apostle and a preacher. So what Luke declared to Theophilus, he probably heard from Paul first, and then he just delivers it to us. And of course, these eyewitnesses and ministers of the word were also writing things down. So Luke got a copy of those things, and he studied them. And then he put together his own account. Okay, again, going back to Luke 1. He then said, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first." And then he was going to show these things to Theophilus. So having a perfect understanding is certainly our goal, isn't it? I mean, don't you wish you had a perfect understanding of everything about Jesus? However, don't wait until you have that perfect, complete knowledge. Luke's referring to writing what was, if it was printed today, would be a booklet. So that's a major undertaking. And he may have known that he was writing Scripture and that the Holy Spirit was involved. But I can guarantee you that he spoke and that he taught people before he actually started writing these things down. And we can do the same thing. If you're going to speak in public or make something available in a public way, then you need to do what he did. But when it's just you and someone else, just say what you know. You don't know everything, but I have no doubt that you probably know way more than the person that you're talking to. Then Luke continued to say, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all these things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." People need to know the order of things. I want you to think of our preaching and teaching. In fact, think of what I've done today. You know, we might quote, well, I quoted from Jeremiah. I quoted from Luke. I quoted from Moses, because he wrote Genesis. Well, just with those three alone, if you're experienced in the Scriptures, you know what to do with each of those. You know roughly when Moses lived. You know why he's in the Scriptures. You know about his life. You know how he is in relation to Christianity. If I quote from Paul, as I did earlier, you know where he is, and then somewhere between those two is Jeremiah. And you know that he was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah after the kingdom of Israel had split. My point being is that I can mention this name and this name and this name and quote this, and you have a general idea of where it's coming from, at what point in history they are, but someone else may not know that. Okay, if I talk about Moses and then Paul, someone may not realize that they're separated by 1,500 years. So they need that stuff in order. And it's the same thing with the things about Jesus. We need to be able to understand that those things ourselves and be able to let others know about that as well. And I think we need to write. You may not be a book writer, but there's some things that you can write, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. The last thing I want to show you here from Luke 1:4 is that he then said to Theophilus that he was doing these things, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So why do we need to know these things concerning Jesus? Why do we need to be certain of the things that Luke wrote? Well, it's a matter of life and death, of heaven and hell. And I don't know how else to say it than that way, that this stuff in Luke is the most important thing in the world for you to listen to, along with anything else that's in the Bible. Therefore, we ourselves need to be certain of the things that we believe. I won't have doubts about it. And if I do have doubts, I need to address those things. But I need to know this stuff really is the Word of God. This really came from the Word of God Himself. So we need the written Word. We can speak on it and we can write on it just as Luke thought to do. And I know that not everyone can be a writer. I know not everyone can be a public speaker. I understand all that. But you've learned some things from the Bible. Every single person who's here today, even if you've never opened the Bible today and this is your first time ever being in a worship service or something like that, you've already learned some things. There's just some things that you know. And it's staying inside you. And guess what happens when you die? All that knowledge dies. I've encouraged you before to do something, and I want to encourage you again. Have you thought about what people used to do before TV came along? In the evenings? When they're done with work and everything else? They did one of two things generally, and sometimes both. They would read, or they would write in their journal/diary. Well, now with TV, I know, like with Carrie and I, you know, it's 8 o'clock, we're done for the day. We want to watch something. That's how we unwind. But what would we have done 100 years ago? I'm not trying to indicate that it's wrong to unwind in that way, but I'm just saying, I wonder how much knowledge is being lost forever. Well, Don, I can't write for some gospel paper. I can't put something on the web. I can't speak publicly or whatever. But you can write in a journal, your own personal journal. You just buy a notebook, or you can pay some good money and get some really nice, fancy-looking ones, and just write your thoughts down there. There was a lady who lived two doors up from the Nile Street Church in Klamath Falls, Christina Patrick. And she had a journal like that, and she could take me back to 10 years and tell me exactly what the weather was on that day and other things that were going on in the world. You might just do that. You know, on July 17th, 2022, it's been hot, but for some reason it looks like it's still kind of cloudy out there, overcast. You know, write that down. And here's what's going on in the politics of the day. You may or may not want to do that, I don't know. Write some other thoughts. And then just write something like something you gain from the Bible. I believe Jesus is a Son of God. Well, Don, everybody knows that. No, they don't. And if our generation and succeeding generations continue to go as they are going, it won't be too long in the future. Well, no one will know that. Was it last week I gave a sermon about America or Americans and Bible reading? I think that was last Lord's Day. And there's just been all of a sudden in the past 2 years an almost cliff-like fall in the number of Bible readers in America. What's happening? So, let's say you just write those things. I've learned that Jesus is the Son of God, and here's why I believe that. You just write down a few things. You just scribble it down. You're not being careful about the proper punctuation or any of that stuff. You just write it down, and you just start building up all these books. And then you die. Your children get them, maybe your grandchildren, maybe even your great-grandchildren, and they open them up and they want to know, well, what did Grandpa or Grandma Jones say about anything? And they open it up and they start reading. And they read this entry where you said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God because the Bible says so. And that's all you say. Well, let's assume that America at that point is like Europe. The Bible is just foreign. That's how it is almost over there. They're not nearly as familiar with it as Americans are. So they think, well, I wonder why he wrote that in his diary. Now, I know there's a thing called the Bible, so they locate a Bible and they just start reading it. You have no idea what you may have sparked. That happened during the kingdom of Judah. Remember, during the reign of King Josiah? He knew that there was supposed to be a religion, so he was doing what he could to practice it, but he had no guidance from the Bible. He wants the temple restored, so they're rebuilding it, and while there, someone discovers what they just called a book. Maybe we better let the king see this. So they bring it to the king, and they read it to him, and it's the Word of God. No one in the kingdom of Judah had been reading the Word of God. They were totally ignorant of it. And one of the greatest restoration movements, revivals, or whatever you want to call it, was thus begun by just someone picking up the Bible and reading it. So please don't just minimize what I've just said. You may not have any idea what you may help in future generations. It could be just that simple. Nothing complicated at all. Or maybe you can find some other way to do it. But I think you get the point of what I'm seeking to get across. I believe that absolutely nothing is more important than what Luke wrote. And if you've never read Luke, why don't you start reading it this week? See what it says. You might be surprised by what you discover. Open your Bible at home and find out why did Don make such a heavy statement? But if you already know and you see what it says, and you know what to do, but you've not done anything about it, well, why not do it right now? Let's stand and sing, and you can come forward.